Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Gainey. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today we are reviewing an original movie, a new movie that is on Hulu. It is Palm Springs. Came out a few weeks ago starring Andy Samberg and has been getting very good reviews. Hulu's most watched original movie that they've ever put out. Granted, they have not put out that many original movies, so there's kind of a short list there. It's not like Netflix where they put one out every week, it seems like, but it is on Hulu. So we'll talk about that on this episode of the Silver Screen Podcast. And Katie, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm super hot. But you and I, just before we started, were talking about winter. And it just made me realize I would much rather take the heat, the bugs, the sweating over being cold and being bothered to go anywhere.
Over snow.
And I especially love like being able to walk and go outside now because that's pretty much all we can do. Mm-hmm. And so I can't imagine what this would be like or will be like possibly, hopefully not, if this goes into winter.
Yeah, hopefully that is not the case, but we'll have to kind of just wait and see. And our first big news item for today is that Tenet, which was supposed to kind of kick off the box office once again, get people back in theaters, et cetera, has been delayed once again. So it was supposed to open in July, and then it got pushed back to July 31st and then August 12th. And now it's been postponed indefinitely. The studio saying Warner Brothers is the ones who make this. And the studio said, "We will share a new 2020 release date imminently for Tenet, Christopher Nolan's wholly original and mind-blowing feature." That was said by Warner Brothers chairman Toby Emmerich in a statement. He said, "Our goals throughout this process have been to ensure the highest odds of success for our films while also being ready to support our theater partners with new content as soon as they safely reopen." And now what they may do is, because other countries across the world have kind of got COVID under control, it may come out internationally before it comes out here in the U.S., which would be kind of an odd situation because normally it comes out in the U.S. first and then overseas or at the same time. But it may be the case where this movie comes out in various countries across the world, but not here in the United States just because we don't have movie theaters open. So we'll kind of have to wait
and
see.
That is wild.
It really is. So, and again, they're going to announce a new release date soon. They did say 2020, so we'll share a new 2020 release date. So that makes me think they do want to get it in theaters by the end of the year. So it'll be sometime in the next 6 months that it will come out. But it has been delayed once again. So we're just going to have to wait and see when that will be coming out. And who knows, people in like Europe or China or something like that may get to see it before we do here in the U.S., which then begs the question, well, will it get leaked online where there'll be spoilers? Will people still go see it when it's in theaters here in the U.S.? And I know me being a big Christopher Nolan fan, I definitely will. But for other people, if they already know what happens or saw it leaked online or something like that, I don't know if they would. So he's kind of worried about that it could hurt the box office, which I totally understand. So we'll kind of have to wait on that and see what happens with that. So with Tenet moving back, the next big thing that is supposed to come out in theaters is Mulan. So we'll have to wait and see if that happens.
I'm going to say right now, I don't believe it.
That's supposed to come out August 21st. So that would be the next thing after Tenet, which is about a month away from when we're recording this. But that seems iffy as well. So
yeah,
we will see with those two movies what happens with those. Also, some celebrity news. Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel have another child. Congrats to both of them. They didn't really tell anybody that they were doing that. They were pregnant.
I mean, I don't think they've even confirmed that this happened. I don't know why someone would start that rumor. There seems to be some validity behind it. But my mind was blown, Jared. And I went to New Orleans, you know, last Christmas time, thereabouts, and was trying to find him because he was filming Palmer. And the news had just broke about him hanging out with the actress, Alicia, that he was working with and filming that movie with. And as if the celeb gods knew that I wanted to know this information, I read an article and it said she would have been, Jessica would have been about 1 month pregnant when all of that had occurred.
Okay.
Which, not at all saying, I am not inferring that they would have stayed together because of a pregnancy. I'm just saying how interesting. It's like, I'm not the only one that wanted to know. Wait a minute, let me do the math here.
That's funny.
Anyway, I am really happy for them and happy if they have a healthy baby. And from what I have heard, it is another boy.
Okay, very nice. So also, if you ever get the chance to see JT. This is for people listening. If you ever get the chance to see JT in concert, definitely do that. I've had the chance to see him twice, and he is a fantastic performer. So even if you don't like, if you're like, I like his music, but I don't love his music, the whole like show he puts on with the dancers and his whole band and everything, it's just a fun time. So even if you're not like a giant JT fan, I would definitely still go check out a JT concert. I will say, though, he does not do NSYNC songs. Both shows that I've been to, he is not like broke into Bye 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 or anything. So
I've only seen him perform with NSYNC, but okay. I would love, I mean, that's a goal of mine, is to go to one of his shows.
Very cool. Very cool. What if like Lance Bass or Joey Fatone just started this rumor about this secret child?
I mean, that'd be hysterical. I thought you were going to ask what if they joined him on like on a tour? And I was like, no, those two aren't going to be the ones to get me. Like, I'm not going to lose my mind over those two. Also, they're wonderful people, but but no, it's JC is the one that I'll lose my mind because I love me
and
some JC.
They reunited on, what was that? The MTV, was it the VMAs a few years
that
back?
That sounds right.
When
that
Justin Timberlake got honored with that like Lifetime Achievement Award kind of. But you could tell that like some of the other guys in the group have definitely not been keeping up with the workout routine that JT has been keeping up with. Because like they did the dance moves and everything and they were very out of breath. Like, whew,
also,
this is a lot.
I think it's cool that that Justin Timberlake got a Lifetime Achievement Award and he's under 40. But
yeah. You got
but
that video.
Great. That, I mean, well deserved, but I'm also like, what qualifies as
I know. He got the Video Vanguard Award at the
that's right.
The
that's right.
VMAs. So back in not 2013. A little bit later than that, I believe. So it was 2013. That was 7 years ago? Wow.
Man,
that does not
even,
seem like 7 years
I am.
Ago.
I don't know where I live and I don't know what year it is anymore.
I remember watching
so.
That and I was like, that is definitely not 7 years ago. But it was 2013. Wild. Jimmy Fallon gave it to him. I mean, that seems fitting. So also Nicki Minaj is pregnant. We don't care. So we're going to move on to the next thing.
I can't stand her. I can't stand her in any capacity.
Never been a big Nicki Minaj fan. Don't love her music.
Well, and there's,
don't love her personality.
There's a lot of not rumors, but completely valid facts about her husband. And I don't appreciate what he's done in his past.
Okay.
You can look
that
up yourself.
I've not researched very much about her.
Oh, Jared, you better look that up.
Okay.
It's like Law and Order SVU stuff. Speaking of, that will be coming up in my recommendations later. But the other piece of news that we definitely wanted to share that just it did happen last week, right after we recorded our episode for Greyhound. John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis, did pass away. And we wanted to bring attention to that because of how active he was with the civil rights movement. And how much he meant to both the Black community and just the United States in general. What an amazing man. What a great legacy he left. And we had just talked about him on a recent episode. We covered Selma, which is one of my favorite movies I'd seen so far this year. I had never seen it prior to this year. But he was a character in the film, not actual John Lewis, but a person portraying him. But we had just talked about him and what he had done in his life. So just a strange coincidence, but we do hope his family is okay. And what a great legacy in life that he left behind.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can definitely say about John Lewis that he was fighting till the very end for civil rights and equality and all kinds of different things. But that, I think, is one of the things that I'll always remember about him, is he was one of the hardest working people, at least in the government, that I had ever seen. So.
And I didn't put this, I forgot. Jared, I don't know if you heard that my little RBG has cancer again.
Yes,
but
I did.
She is doing well. And I read an article. She's amazing. She's like, it's fine. I can go to my cancer treatments and also still be on the Supreme Court. And I'm still getting in my daily workouts. And I was like, Ruth, the world has never deserved you. But we definitely don't now. But I love her. I love, you know what? There's a lot to be said too. If you're not a feminist, or you don't care about politics, or you don't even know what Ruth Bader Ginsburg is famous for, that's fine. But you have to admire her character. This woman is such a go-getter, a respectful person, and leads such a phenomenal example of just never giving up and not blaming your circumstances or anything, and just really making something of yourself. So I love you, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I'm dedicating this episode to you.
And with that, we do have one correction, which is that on the Greyhound episode, and I should have caught it, but I didn't. On the Greyhound episode, we said that that was Tom Hanks' first screenplay that he was had written, and that was incorrect because he also wrote the screenplay for That Thing You Do and for Larry Crown and some other thing. I mean, he's written a book and he's written some other things too. So. Yeah. Yes. So that's our correction. We have corrected ourselves. Now we'll go on to our recommendations for this week. I have a few different things that I'll hit on real quick. The first is The Last Dance, which we talked about when that was on ESPN a few months ago. It is now on Netflix. So if you have been waiting to watch The Last Dance, you can watch it on Netflix, a documentary about Michael Jordan and the Bulls back in the 90s and their last season kind of all together as one. So that's very interesting. One of my favorite things that I've watch this year, and definitely check that out if you have Netflix. Also, I am reading a book right now that I really am liking. So I am reading a Simon Sinek book. You may know him for his TED Talk that is very popular about leadership and how leaders get inspire action and things like that. So the book is called Start With Why, and it came out in 2009, but I just picked it up this week from the library digitally. So it's a short read, 250 pages, but really interesting. Kind of it talks about why you do things, and a lot of companies know what they do and how they do it, but they don't know why they do it, what the reason is behind why they're doing what they do. So that's been a really interesting read. So I've been chugging along with that. And also wanted to mention that one of my favorite people in the world, whose birthday it's actually is today, that would be Alex Trebek. He is 80 years old the day that we're recording this.
Oh, yes.
Which is July 22nd. He has a new book out as well, which I have not read yet, but definitely will be picking up. It is called The Answer Is: Reflections on My Life. So it came out this week. And I will definitely be looking into that and looking to get that and read it because I love Jeopardy and love Alex Trebek. But if you need something for somebody in your life that's a big Jeopardy fan or want to read about his story, then check that out. The Answer Is: Reflections on My Life by Alex Trebek. So those are my recommends.
Jared, I definitely want to know how that book is. Okay. I'm intrigued myself and might want to read it. My mom's, one of her closest friends, Susie, was on Jeopardy this year.
Very cool.
Like on TV and everything, which was super cool. I couldn't talk about it then because it hadn't aired, but it has since aired. And she did really well. And she said that Alex Trebek was wonderful, professional, and kind. So that
very
was great.
Nice.
My recommendations, I've a couple this week. I listened to the episode you recommended, the Conan. You at least recommended it to me. I don't remember if we recorded it, but the podcast Conan Needs a Friend with Conan O'Brien. He had an episode with Tom Hanks. That's actually how I figured out my correction, that he had written other screenplays. But if you love Tom Hanks as much as I do, I would be hard pressed to believe you, but that's fine. If you love hearing his voice, though, too, it was so cool just to hear him talk for like an hour. It was the best day.
It really was. But it was very funny when he tells a story about how kids will come up to him and be like, "Hey, do the Woody voice."
Woody,
and he's like,
"That's
just
Woody
my
voice.
That's just my normal voice."
Yeah, and they think like he'll make them shut their eyes,
yeah,
and then he'll say something. There's a snake in my boot or something.
And he did it on the podcast, and it sounded just like Woody. So it was like,
yes, it did. It did. Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I also have been, I said last week, I've been watching Law and Order SVU. I've been on a binge. I'm not done, but I think I'm less than 20 episodes away from the end. So by next week, I'll be done for sure. But it's easy to just kind of have it on too, but I'm loving the new episodes because a lot of the other ones, the older ones, I'd seen at least a few minutes here and there, or most of them, or I'd seen the whole episode, but now I'm in like completely new territory. And then, I think the book, I'll wait and see next week how this book turns out. I've slowed really down a lot on my reading this week, but that's okay. But I wanted to recommend the YouTube series Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. It is fantastic. It's hosted by Emmanuel Acho, and he was in the NFL. He is a very intelligent, very attractive Black man. He has conversations with people, really, it's not even just white people. It's people of different races and things that have questions, or he'll read like emails and things he's received, but he addresses uncomfortable topics. But it's fantastic. It's a great way to dip your toe into the racial equity conversation. And I love the way he approaches it too. There is no chastising or condescending tone. He's purely teaching people and educating them, like, hey, do you know when you do this, or if you support this, you're, it's actually systemic racism. And it's fantastic. And they're all on YouTube. He already got a book deal with Oprah.
Okay.
So he's going to have a book out next year. But the episodes, I don't think any of them have been more than 15 minutes long, but they're usually shorter than that. He has one with Matthew McConaughey. He has one with Joanna and Chip Gaines. But they're really, really good. So definitely check that out, especially if you are very interested and care about what's going on in, especially in the United States now, but you don't want to commit to reading a book yet. I would definitely recommend the watching the YouTube clips.
Very cool. So definitely check those out. Those are our recommends for this week. And now we'll move into our review of Palm Springs, which was released on July 10th on Hulu. And it is rated R for sexual content, some language, drug use, and some violence. It is an hour and 30 minutes. And then IMDb is 7.5 out of 10. And then Rotten Tomatoes critics, 93%, audience, 90%. So pretty high ratings for critics and audience on Rotten Tomatoes. And then box office, it has made about $165,000. We think that's primarily from drive-ins, because this is showing at some drive-ins across the country, just because they're open and they, you know, like to show some new movies. So this has been showing at some across the country. So that's where that number comes from. But it did not get a typical theatrical release just because, you know, no theaters are open right now. So the synopsis for this movie is when carefree Niles, that is Andy Samberg's character, and reluctant maid of honor Sarah, who is played by Kristen Milioti, they, the synopsis, let me go back up to it here, have a chance encounter at a Palm Springs wedding. Things get complicated as they are unable to escape the venue, themselves, or each other. And they basically repeat the same day over and over again. So that's what happens throughout the course of this movie. Some critics' reviews. First, we have Claudia Pugh of Film Week, who says, it really exceeds at what it's trying to do, an inventive new take on Groundhog Day. It has very likable lead performances by Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti, and it has more on its mind than the run-of-the-mill rom-com. And that is one thing we'll talk about in our likes and dislikes as comparisons to Groundhog Day, because that's probably the movie that this is closest to in terms of its style and structure and things like that. Next up is Rafer Guzman of Newsday, who says, a derivative and desperate to be dark comedy. Not a huge fan of it. One of the negative reviews there from a critic. Next up is David Sims of The Atlantic, who says, Palm Springs is about how reality can feel endless and about how being an adult involves cherishing the truth that a lot of things will never change. That's a pretty good summation of the movie. And then finally, Ty Burr of the Boston Globe, who says, Palm Springs is a love story for a world where every day's exactly the same. And while you might find that a little eerily on point just now, it's also a comfort. And that is a good point there, because right now during this COVID world where we all just kind of do the same thing every day because there's no big events or anything or vacations or anything like that going on, it can kind of get mundane. And that's kind of what this movie covers, is just somebody going through the same stuff basically every day of their life. So this is directed by Max Barbacal, and he's so far primarily directed some shorts, and he attended the actual AFI Conservatory, which is very cool, because if you don't know AFI, the American Film Institute, does a lot of big stories on movies, and their lists are very, like, they did a top 100 movies list, and that's very well received and highly regarded, and they have a lot of other lists too.
It's super expensive to go there too. I mean, it's kind of like highbrow. If you can get in there, it's a big deal. Yeah.
So he graduated back in 2015. And then Andy Ciara was a screenwriter that also went to the AFI Conservatory as well. And he wrote this movie. So, and they sold this film at Sundance, and it was the biggest sale ever at Sundance by 69 cents. So pretty funny there. I think I read it sold for 17 million. Is that right? What it sold for Sundance?
I have no idea. I also, because I was intrigued looking up, I watched a 9-minute interview with, what's his name? He had a heart attack, which is a big deal. And his name is like the same name as like a billion other people. I'll find this out. Kevin something?
Okay.
I'm going to have to figure that out.
It did get bought at Sundance for about $17.5 million. And they were originally going to put it out in theaters and then put it on Hulu, but they had to skip the theater part, obviously. So it just went to Hulu. So that's pretty cool that got bought at Sundance for that high of a price.
Yes. If anyone was screaming at their listening device. It's how did this happen to me again? I'm so sorry. Kevin Smith.
Okay.
He had a heart attack. I just remember this was a big deal and he looked familiar to me, but I wasn't sure. But he's a comedian. He did an interview with Andy Samberg. And I thought, I wonder how he got connected with Max Barbacow. And it was just, I think he just read the script, liked it. And then they became friendly and everything. But this interview was really interesting. It's only 10 minutes, but it was with Camila Mendez, Kristen Milioti, and Andy Samberg and Max Barbacow. And he was just saying that Andy was saying, rarely do I get a script that makes me laugh out loud. So he was really impressed by that. And then he said he was always worried after SNL, because it was his dream job, mind you, that he was like, I didn't know what to do after SNL and was worried I would never do anything. So I'm happy that I can still be in movies and find things to do. And anyway, but it was a really interesting story how they even got to know each other. And I think it's pretty impressive that this is their first feature film and it's really good.
It really is. So, and that is I think that's a good point by Samberg, because so many people want to work at SNL, but if you watch SNL, so many of the cast members and writers and things are younger, like in their 20s and 30s, and then they'll be on there for 5 or 6 years and then they'll leave. So that was, and he was on there when he was pretty young. So I totally get that point of him being like, well, I did what I wanted to do as my dream job. So what do I do now? Which is basically starring in movies and being in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which we'll talk about here in just a second when we come back on the Silver Screen Podcast and continue our review of Palm Springs. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast talking about Palm Springs. We're going to talk about the cast now. This movie has a pretty small cast, not too many people in this film, but the lead character is Andy Samberg, who plays Niles.
Thank you. Andy Samberg does play Niles. They spelled it, I noticed, N-Y-L-E-S, which I've seen it with an I, but okay. He was, of course, involved in SNL from 2005 to 2018 in different capacities. He was a writer and an actor on the show. I won't say it on the podcast, but I think we all know my favorite sketch he ever did. It was with Mr. Timberlake that we mentioned earlier. I don't know about if you heard about my world famous viral performance, but anyway, he's also in college. He's also known for Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I have been meaning to watch that show forever. I need to watch it. But fascinating history about that show. I didn't realize the show started in 2013. It was canceled after 5 seasons. NBC picked it up again the next day, renewed it for a 6th season. Then it was renewed again for a 7th season, like it was going to be canceled again. And the 7th season premiered in February of this year. But he doesn't have any other upcoming projects listed. But as far as I know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is still going on and is a really beloved show.
Yeah, it was originally on Fox. And then, like you said, Fox dropped it. And NBC was like, this is a good show. We're going to pick this up. So they picked it up and it's still on and has a new network, which is great. But like you, I've seen an episode here and there and I've found it funny, but I've meant to go back from the beginning and kind of start it from the beginning, because it is one of the most talked about comedies that are on television right now. So that's Andy Samberg, though.
Next up, we have Kristen Milioti. She plays Sarah. You might recognize her from Wolf of Wall Street. She was also in Fargo, one of the FX series, but she was in one of the seasons. And also How I Met Your Mother. I won't ruin that, but if you've seen the series, you know who she is. I also saw on IMDb, I really liked this little blurb. They said, Kristen Milioti was born and raised in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. She has Italian, Belgian, Czech, and Irish ancestry and calls her family Olive Garden Italian. Thought that was hysterical. And next, she's going to be in a TV series called Made for Love.
Very nice. And you mentioned Fargo, and I just am wondering if the 4th season of Fargo is ever going to happen, because it was supposed to come out in April, and Chris Rock's supposed to be in it, but it got delayed due to COVID, and it's already been 3 years since the last season. So we'll see. But Fargo's really good if you haven't watched the TV show, if you like that kind of crime, thriller, drama type stuff. I really enjoyed the first 3 seasons. So
yeah. Then we have J.K. Simmons. Jared and I are big fans of him. Mm-hmm. He plays Roy. He's kind of evil in this movie. He's best known for Whiplash, Juno, La La Land, and Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire ones. He won a Best Supporting Actor Oscar in 2015 for Whiplash. He was horrible in that. By horrible, I mean a horrible character. fantastic acting. He has at least 7 upcoming projects that I counted, but you can watch him now in the TV miniseries Defending Jacob. I mentioned that in a couple episodes, actually, because that has Chris Evans, my love, in it. Mm-hmm. But that is currently on Apple TV Plus, so I am planning to watch that soon. I'll tell you when I do, but he is in that. And then this movie also has Camila Mendes that we mentioned, Peter Gallagher, everybody knows him, Meredith Hagner, June Squibb, and Tyler Hoechlin, who you would recognize from some shows when he was also younger as well. Some movies, I believe he was in Enough with Jennifer Lopez as well. If that's him, no, maybe Made in Manhattan. I'll look it up. Okay. Because I don't want to do a correction. But anyway, it is a good cast. Jared's right. It's a small cast, but the supporting people, all of them are either famous or they're in something else right now. Mm-hmm. I noticed.
I will say, if you turn this movie on for a lot of Camila Mendes, then you'll be a little disappointed because she's not in the movie all that much. But I feel like she was in the trailer a lot and like the marketing and stuff for this. Probably because she's on Riverdale and she's a, you know, very popular actress right now. But just FYI, if you're watching it more for her, she's not in it a ton, but you should still watch it because it's a good movie. So we'll move
go ahead. Oh, sorry. Tyler was in, he was in Road to Perdition and also Seventh Heaven, which I remembered him from those. And I could swear he was in a movie with Jennifer Lopez, but if I find it, I'll let you know. Also probably thinking that any semi-cute young child that's now grown up to be a pretty attractive man, I probably think he was in a film with Jennifer Lopez at some point. It looks like he wasn't, but I did recognize him from those things. And I was really into Seventh Heaven when I was younger. So this makes sense that I recognized him.
Jennifer Lopez looks so good for her age that they have to get she's in a romantic comedy with a guy, they have to get a guy that's like 20 years younger so that they look
this
like they could
true.
Actually be dating.
Yes. So there you go.
With that, we'll move on to our likes and dislikes for this movie. First like is this movie has been getting a lot of comparisons to Groundhog Day, but it's different than that. And it's a very different style for a romantic comedy. It's definitely more of a romantic comedy with kind of a sci-fi feel. So I really did like that this movie was very original and a new concept and a new idea, because I know that's one of the things we talk about on here is that we get tired of the same types of movies over and over again. We talked about it on the Greyhound episode a little bit, how we get tired of just the constant war movie and the same things happening and stuff like that. So it was nice to see a new idea and kind of a new take on the rom-com genre.
Definitely. I've seen Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. I get why people are saying like this is the same. I definitely don't think it's the same. It's similar in that, yeah, they're reliving a day over and over.
One
but there's
aspect
so many
is the
different,
same. Yeah.
Yeah. There's that's exactly right. It's one aspect is the same. Somebody listed, this isn't my wording, but I completely agreed with it. Somebody said in an article, this is a refreshingly original idea. I think it was mm-hmm. a critic that said it. And I think the same thing. It's like they took the one aspect that's similar to Groundhog Day, but different things happen. The characters get to go off and do different things. Kristen Milioti's character goes missing for a while, and I actually thought she had died or something happened to her, but really she was just going somewhere else, like waking up and choosing to go somewhere else that day. So I thought that was interesting. And I also I just like in general that this was more of like a comedy and a light movie. And I think I've said that. I do think I've said that in the last like 10 episodes because of COVID. But at the same time, nothing is really changing. I wish I could say that our situation's improving, but it's not improving greatly or rapidly. So it is nice to see these movies that are like brighter and more cheerful and funny.
Yeah, that is definitely good for this time. And it does have a very like bright color palette. Obviously, it's called Palm Springs. So
yes.
It's based at, you know, in Palm Springs, California. But it definitely has like even the poster and stuff looks very like kind of 80s Miami Vice style type deal going on there.
Yes.
So I really did enjoy that. The outfit, like Andy Samberg has a crazy Hawaiian shirt on the whole movie. So that's kind of fun. But yeah, very like upbeat color palette and like bright colors and things like that, which is good to see. So also positive, this movie is about them reliving the same day over and over again, and they never change clothes, which is a small thing, but is a thing that I appreciated, because otherwise it would be a little bit unrealistic. So they always like, I don't know if Andy Samberg just doesn't have any other clothes or what, but the other two main characters do, but they always stay in the kind of the same things, which is kind of nice. So just a small script thing.
I would have loved to see more wardrobe and stuff, but I love the way you caught on to that. You're right, because they have to keep it. It has to make sense.
Yeah.
But I agreed with you totally. I thought about the color palette as far as clothing. I loved, you know, even they picked, like, for Sarah's character, she had these like red booties on with this turquoise top, and it's colors even that I thought, oh, I think a lot of people wouldn't think to put that together, but it looked so good. And everything was vibrant. His Hawaiian shirt was vibrant. Like you said, the inflated inflatable tools, not tools, like pool toys.
Pool toys, yeah.
We're so fun and vibrant. The wedding, because it's in, everybody knows Palm Springs. If we're using, you know, the vernacular of today, it's bougie, if you will. It's where rich and famous fancy people can afford to go.
Yes.
And so it makes sense that this wedding is like really fancy and really elegant, and all these cool like hipster people are there. It makes sense, but it was beautifully done. I loved the set design. I loved the clothing, and you're right. I loved that it had this, I don't think cohesive is the right word, but that they stayed consistent with the clothing because it wouldn't have made sense otherwise.
They do like dress up a few times, but other than that, they pretty much stay in the same outfit. So another like is definitely that the movie is not very long. It's an hour and a half. That's a good length for a comedy. I always like shorter movies, but especially for comedies or romantic comedies, I don't think it needs to be over an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes, just because I don't think there's really much more that you can't say in that amount of time. So whereas some of these movies that are more dramatic and are telling real life stories and things like that, like, I'm totally fine with them being over 2 hours. But for like a rom-com, hour 45 is like the sweet spot. So this is a little shorter than that, which is good. So I really appreciated that the movie was shorter, though.
I did, too. And that just seems really, even if we don't, like, I've been working from home and plenty of people are not, but also the ones that are, it's really a lot more convenient. I know like a half hour difference doesn't seem like a lot, but it really is to me. Right now, I would rather watch an hour and a half long film. I don't know that it would have held my attention if it was longer than that, but I really appreciated everything that they packed into this film in the hour and a half time. And then another thing I really liked was just having different faces to look at, like comedic faces, because Kristen Milioti, she's been in other things, and Camila Mendez, I've seen her in things. But I don't think these are people that you see in every day. So it's just nice and refreshing to see new people, new comic styles. I think that's really good. And I think Andy was probably the big draw. I'm sure people just had to hear his name and they're like, I'll watch that. Or they decided I won't watch that. Not at all like June Squibb and J.K. Simmons are not a big deal. But I'm saying they really only needed one powerhouse person, I think, to get people's interest. And then it's nice to have new people give it a shot, so you're not just seeing the same things over and over and over. That gets old.
It does. It definitely does, to see the same like actors, especially comedic actors, in the same type of some movies. So, and Andy Samberg, while he's done a lot of TV and SNL and stuff, hasn't really done a lot of movies, so it was nice to kind of see him in a movie as well. So just because he's been focused more on TV throughout his career. So another thing I liked is the script. We've talked about it a little bit, but it's very funny script. It made me laugh out loud quite a few times while I was watching this movie. Some very good jokes and one-liners and callbacks and things. But also, it's really written, it has the romantic aspect as well, because it makes you feel about feel for the characters and with the characters. Like you mentioned, the time when Sarah goes missing, and during that whole time I was like, what happened to her? Like, because that's about an hour into the movie, and at that point you've connected with her character and feel for her and what's going on in her life and things like that. And there's some other more serious aspects that are played out throughout the movie that kind of add some more depth to the character than is like in a typical rom-com. So I appreciated that as well, because I thought the character development, while the movie was short, was really good, because you weren't about, the only one really is J.K. Simmons. You don't really learn a lot about his character, but he's not in the movie for that long. But the two main characters of Sarah and Niles, you do learn a decent amount about like their past and their outlook on life and how they think they're going to get out of this and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I really appreciate what you said about the script. The David Sims, who was the critic, it was the third quote that we had today. He talked about how reality can feel endless and how being an adult involves cherishing the truth that a lot of things will never change. I think that was a lot of the point of the movie, which I really enjoyed. I think a lot of times some movies or comedies or romantic things aren't really trying to say anything. And I thought this movie actually had a very clear point where, you know, things like going to weddings over and over or baby showers and stuff. I know at my age, a lot of that stuff can seem either mundane or like, oh, I've played this out. Like mm-hmm. I've done the dating thing, or, oh, I've been to 18 baby showers this year. I've been to 13 weddings this year. But at the same time, a lot of that is very comforting. And it's part of the neat thing about being an adult is you can choose who to hang out with, what job career path that you want, if you want to work or if you don't want to work, what vacations. There's a lot of great stuff about being an adult and reality that you get to decide. And with that choice, if you're fortunate enough to have those privileges, there's a lot of power with that. So I think that, what was his, I know it's Ciara, Andy Ciara. I think he did a really good job writing this story.
And I think too, like the whole aspect of reliving the same day over and over, but the fact that whatever I do on this day won't have any consequences because as soon as I fall asleep, I'll wake up and the day will start over again and nobody will remember what happened except for the people that like are reliving that day over and over again, which I thought was good because that allows you to push the story forward. Like Niles and Sarah don't forget every time that they woke up that they met at that wedding, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they remember because they're reliving the same day, their relationship progresses, but everybody else kind of just stays in the same spot where they are. So yes. I thought that was an interesting way to write the script of, we can have these characters do this because there won't be any consequences. Like the next day it'll be fine and they'll just go back to being, you know, it'll be the same day over again. So, mm-hmm. which is used for dramatic effect and comedic effect at times as well. So, and then finally, the last like is this is very accessible to watch. It's on Hulu. We always appreciate movies that are on streaming because it makes it just a lot easier to watch, especially for a movie like this. I don't know if I would have gone and seen this movie in the theater. I probably would have seen the reviews and I would have said maybe, but it would have depended on what it was coming out with or what was in the theater at the same time. Like this would not have been, if there was four movies out, this probably wouldn't have been my first choice to go watch in the theater, but the fact that it's on Hulu and it's very easy to watch is nice because that makes it very accessible and you can just sit down and watch it for an hour and a half and then you're on to the next thing.
Exactly. I completely agree.
I wanted to ask you before we moved on to dislikes, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but which person do you think you would live as if you were stuck in this situation? Would you be Niles, who's kind of carefree, does whatever? Would you be Sarah and try to like research a way out of it? Or would you be Roy, who just kind of accepts it and is like, my life is pretty good. I think I'm okay with this happening every day and I've got my family and stuff like that.
Great question. I think I would definitely be a mixture of Niles and Sarah. I could see myself being the carefree, like kind of enjoying it and trying. I could see myself trying to make every day different.
Mm-hmm.
Like accepting that it's my life, but also just being like, well, I might as well make the most of the same day, have different conversations with various guests at the wedding, or try different try different cocktails every day at the wedding, or, you know, so I think it'd be a mixture, but I do think that would get really tiring to me after a while. And I would be like Sarah and I'd want to find a way to get out of it.
And you kind of see that play out throughout the movie too, because like the first couple of weeks that happens, they're like, oh, we can do this and we can do this and we can have fun with this and, you know, all that stuff. But then, like you said, she gets to an eventual point where she's like, okay, I want to get out of this. I want to figure out how to get back to my real life, because while this is fun, I would like life to progress and, you know, things be able to happen and stuff like that. So I think I would probably mostly Sarah, but maybe a little bit Niles as well. Kind of like you, like for the first couple of weeks, it would be mm-hmm. fun to just kind of do whatever. And then I would be like, okay, this has been enough of this. Let's go back to, because at that point, when you're just doing whatever you want, you don't really have any purpose because there's nothing to look forward to or strive towards or anything like that. So yes. I think that would get to me after a while. So with that, we'll move on to our dislikes real quick before we wrap things up. Just a few dislikes. This movie has some sexual stuff in it that, I don't know, it didn't really need to be in there. I get that it's kind of a rated R comedy, so it's probably going to be, but it's spoiler alert here, but you find out that Sarah is cheating with the Camila Mendez's husband, who they're
getting
married.
The new groom.
Yeah, the new groom that they're going to get married the day that she wakes up, basically, and replays that day over and over again. And you find out that Andy Samberg's girlfriend is also cheating on him as well. So that's fine, but they like go to some extra lengths to show you how it happened, and I feel like we probably didn't need that.
Yeah, I definitely put sexual stuff at the top of my list. Not at all because, well, it's definitely a movie under no circumstances. Like, there's under no circumstances would I ever watch this with my parents.
No.
I would probably never watch this with my brother. I don't know. And I did laugh at certain parts, but I do think this is so Andy's, this is his wheelhouse. Like he
type of comedy. Yeah. Yep.
Totally. So that's fine. It's not always my type of comedy. But it was also, it was a dislike for me more than anything because it made me think, oh, these are all the people, groups of people, family members I would never watch this with because it was so inappropriate at times. And also it seemed like everyone was a cheater. Everyone sucked. And I'm like that. There's plenty of people that suck. There's plenty of people that are bad at relationships. There's plenty of people that cheat. But to paint everybody at that wedding as a cheater was like, this is a bit much. Like this if I go to a wedding, I don't expect out of the bridesmaids, like three out of the five are going to be cheaters. I just don't think that that's usually how it is. And it that might be my outlook too. I don't know.
And it kind of like changes the tone of the movie too. Cause
it
like,
does.
It's really more just like romantic comedy, science fiction kind of based. But then when those scenes are thrown in, it turns into more like gross out comedy, which is not my favorite type of comedy. I just don't really love those. I like the more smarter comedies, which I'd say this definitely is. But yeah, it just kind of switches the tone up there. And while you said some scenes are funny, but I feel like it could have left those three or four scenes out and we would have been fine and still had a good movie. So. And then only other dislike is this is a good question that Katie thought of, but we don't really know how J.K. Simmons or Andy Samberg's character got stuck in the loop in the first place.
Yes.
We do know how Sarah's character did because she goes into the cave and then like once that happens, she relives the same day over and over again. But like what caused Andy Samberg and J.K. Simmons Roy to go in there and like relive the same day over and over again? Like would that never get set up? So
I thought it was just definitely something they never explained. They never went into. They went in to explain how to get out of it.
Yeah.
They went in and explained why J.K. Simmons wants to stay or at least has been fine with staying so far in the same day and repeating it. But they never explained how they got there or why. So I thought that was just kind
of
like.
They also explain. I was going to say they explain how the cave gets there too. Like the earthquake happens and that's how the cave gets there for them to go into. But you're right. That one question of why did they do this in the first place is never brought up. So,
yeah. So to me, that did seem like a little bit of a gaping hole. I do understand that this is Andy Sierra's first like feature length script. At least that's the way it was explained in that interview. But I also think that that's kind of like a gaping hole where I'm like, I don't think I'm the only person that had this question, but as far as like dislikes there, I didn't have a lot. The sex stuff was the only stuff that made me like go, ooh, yeah, I couldn't watch this all the time. Or I couldn't watch this with everyone or as non-prudish as I want to be and stuff. It's just something where I was like taken aback after enough sexual scenarios. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It
Wild
does pop
day.
Up quite a decent amount. Yeah.
Yeah.
On that one day happening over and over again.
Yeah.
There's so much. So those are really our only dislikes for this movie. So we'll go ahead and give our scores now. I'll go ahead and go first. And I'm going to give Palm Springs an 88 out of 100. So pretty highly rated, kind of real close to the critics and the audience score there. I liked it, that it was an original romantic comedy. Perfect type of movie to come on streaming. Really funny. Easy watch. So 88 out of 100. And it was original, which is another thing that I liked too. So
definitely.
It kind of takes a spin on that romantic comedy genre. So that's my grade, 88.
Wow. Jared, we are super close. I'm giving this an 86.
Okay.
I thought it was great. I really liked how original it was. It was well done. There wasn't a single cast member that I thought, oh, they're a bad actor or they're not doing a good job. I loved seeing the new faces. I loved the design of the film. Yeah, the sexual scenarios and the gaping hole I talked about with the plot, the little whoops during the plot, lacking an explanation. Those are the only things that stood out to me. But it was really good. I think it's a great movie to watch right now, especially if you want something funny, uplifting, and also care about love as well.
And we didn't mention this, but it also moves along at a really nice pace, too. I was going to bring that up in my... But it's never, like, slow at any point. Granted, it's short, so it doesn't really have time to be slow, but it does move along at a nice pace, and you're always, like, interested in it the whole time. So
good point. It's like, good qualities.
If you said if it was longer, I think I would have gotten bored and would have just gone to the end and been like, what happened? So
right.
So those are our scores for Palm Springs, which is on Hulu, and you can check it out right now. And then you can listen to the Silver Screen Podcast a lot of different ways in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. All of those locations are available to listen to the Silver Screen Podcast. Be sure to rate and review the show wherever you're listening. That really helps us out. Just give us a star rating or write a little review. That's very nice of you, and we appreciate those. And then you can follow the show on social media at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook. Just search the Silver Screen Podcast. And then our next episode of the show, we're going to go back to another classic. That is an Alfred Hitchcock movie, North by Northwest from 1959. Excited to watch this one.
I'm so excited. Yeah, we wanted to thank people. I had asked really anybody who listens to give us recommendations, and we were thrilled with how many people responded. So thank you. I did write down everything you all suggested as well. So if we didn't pick something you suggested, don't worry. We actually had a lengthy conversation before recording today about all the possibilities and when we could cover them. So we really appreciate it. I also like that a lot of you are challenging me to watch either films I haven't seen before or ones that I've been a little scared to see or rewatch. So thank you so much. And my friend Lexi was the one. We were really good friends when I lived in Savannah. So she recommended Hitchcock. I love Hitchcock. I've seen this movie probably a dozen times, but it is fantastic. It's one of his best, in my opinion. I can't wait to discuss it with you.
So that'll be our next episode of the Silver Screen Podcast, talking about North by Northwest, which I will mention you can watch on HBO Max. So if you have HBO Max, you can watch it there before our next episode. We'll be talking about that Alfred Hitchcock classic.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.